They just have to Monday Sabbath, so that'll make it easier for us. So we're on, August 3rd, 2024, Sabbath day. We're in Acts chapter 16, verse 28, and this is what it says. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And verse 19 says, "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas." And this is, of course, talking about how Paul and Silas, they were in jail, and then the earthquake came and broke open all the doors, dropped all the fetters. And so the jailer thought, okay, you know, he's going to have to kill himself because he certainly doesn't want to die at the hands of a Roman. And this is why, by the way, brothers and sisters, a lot of people miss this, even Christians to this day, don't realize why the Jews didn't stone Jesus. Because according to their theology, the biblical theology is, even though he wasn't in sin, the sins they accused him of, they could have stoned him. But that would have been too easy. He would have died too quick. They wanted him tortured and then killed. And they couldn't do that legally. But the Romans could. And that's why they brought him to the Romans. And so the Jews are double guilty. They not only wanted to kill him and made sure that he did get killed, they wanted him killed slowly with as much pain as they could figure out to muster. And so, I see Joe's doing it. Anthony is bad internet, no doubt. He could be at a rest station or something like that for Sabbath with his truck. So, okay. Yeah, exactly, Isaiah 52:14. Yeah, put it in the room. All right, and so, verses, I'm just going to, the thing here, okay, I did stop at verse 29, but I'm not going to go all the way to verse 34 because it's going to be hard to go back and forth to the notes here, but Paul and Silas could have decided God opened the doors for them as he did for Peter not too long ago, if you all remember. But as we read on, it was obvious God told Paul to stay and share the truth with the jailer. Peter was obviously led out by the hand of the angel. You know, he wasn't told to stay. Yeah, amen. Isaiah 52:14. As many as were astonished at his visage, or however you say it, was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. That's why, in other words, in today's language, they beat Jesus so badly, his visage, his face, even his own mother wouldn't recognize him if she hadn't been told it was her son. He didn't, you know what happens when a face gets beat up and it's all swollen and tore up? Yeah, they beat him so badly and he was shredded, the whole body was shredded. The demons took over those Romans because for the most part they're homosexuals, which means they're already possessed. And those demons hate Jesus so much that they were going to go to town on him, and that's what they did. But Paul, staying in the prison, getting back to that, Paul staying in the prison clearly allowed for the jailer and his family to be saved. Wisdom and discernment like this is much needed by us today. Like I was talking about earlier in regards to John chapter 8, we have to understand when someone is in sin, a church, for example, is in sin. We don't do like the Pharisees, come up and say, "Look, we're going to stone him. What do you say, Jesus?" You know, like putting him on the spot, trying to out him or trying to, you know, trip him up. And so, of course, we know that Jesus started writing their sins down in the sand or the dust or whatever. And the elders, if you notice, they left first when they saw that. Why? Because they saw their own sins being written down. And if Jesus, they figured Jesus was going to out them, so if they left, they wouldn't be embarrassed. And that's the reason everybody else left, because if they stoned that woman anyway, they wouldn't have any backing of the synagogue, because the leaders left. And so, the truth is, yeah, amen. Like the Roman Catholic Church during the Inquisition, they tortured those Christians, 500 million of them. I know the SDA Church says 50 million or 100 million, but Fox's Book of Martyrs says 500 million. And I don't remember which, I know it was the first edition, but the edition I have on my website, I don't think it's the first edition. I remember reading the first edition years ago, and then I finally had a website and then couldn't find it. But again, getting back to Paul and Silas, It was probably, no doubt, the same angel that Peter was let out when he was free from the prison, that he was, you know, specifically let out by that angel. But Paul and Silas were not let out. And so it was obvious to God, God's will here. And Paul discerned it perfectly. And I actually go into verse 20 earlier in regards to sketches from the life of Paul. But patience. And this is my problem here too. And this is what the Lord woke me up this morning about, was the patience that I need in regards to those people that I'm praying for and trying to work with. It's not on me. It's not all about me. It's just like the thing that pops up on my screen every now and then. The Lord gave me a little bit of an understanding a few weeks ago. And all it says, every, you know, at least once a day, it pops up and says, forgive them. For everyone, forgive them, because every one of us make mistakes. You know, because the enemy of souls is trying to get me angry at the people that have done things, and I'm not just talking about fanatics. It's never ending here with the emails and the hate and all this stuff that comes on a regular basis. And I just forgive them all. I even tell them I forgive them. But every now and then, it's a little hard sometimes to forgive. And then the Lord was revealing to me, I got to forgive. And I do. It's just that sometimes I think about them too much. And I say, no, they just made a mistake. They just don't realize it yet. Because I make mistakes too. We all do. Hence the reason he had to shake me up to wake me up the other day. So, but okay, no problem. And so, getting back, in regards to this, we got to be so patient, because I'm certain today that most Christians would flee the prison if such a quake was to occur, like it did with Paul and Silas. Even there, we got to be patient. Even during the attack, we got to be patient. Like some of you remember a dream I had some years ago. I'm not going to mention who it was in the dream, but it's someone who is, without a doubt, the most evil person I've ever seen in my life, that has been attacking us, making videos and everything about us, right? The Lord revealed to me in a dream that he will come back into the truth, smiling even in the dream. As I was stepping up to a pulpit, I saw him in the second pew in the church, which means no voice in the church. He's just there and he's happy. And if he makes it home to heaven, that's great. But he will never be part of our number again. Sister White even explains on certain people like that. But still be patient even there. Because eventually, that's part of the test too. It's just like the rich man and the poor man. The rich man's being tested for his riches. The poor man's being tested for his poverty. And how so? Well, the rich man, if he doesn't give him any money to help out the poor man, he failed his test. And if the poor man flips him off or starts yelling because he didn't give any money, he failed his test. Well, it's the same thing. I'll fail my test if I get all upset and angry at the people that attack me. And they'll fail their test if they never stop with their attacks. Because the truth is here. Because we go by that which is written. I know all the churches say the exact same thing. They say, we got the truth here. Jesus is here. As a matter of fact, their marquees in front of the churches are all saying Jesus is here. Yeah, just like Jesus said, if they say I'm here or I'm there, don't believe them. They're saying it everywhere, right? And so, yeah. But we have Bibles in hand. That's the difference. Most of the people, the overwhelming majority of the Christian churches today, are pew warmers. That's all they are, especially with the Catholics. And the Catholics, for the most part, don't even go to church unless it's Christmas or Easter. And then they're zipping in and out of there just to get that, you know, the cookie that they think is Jesus Christ incarnate. 99% of the people in the churches are just there because they think it's their duty to be there. But will they read their Bibles during the week? Some of them, yes. But will they read them for what it says? No. They'll read them for what their preacher says is their, you know, their creed. In other words, their Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. They're going to believe the way they want to believe just to take away their shame. But the patience thing here is very important, even in the midst of a trial. We're going through what we're going through as a church family when people leave our number. We shouldn't let it bother us and get us all, you know, sad and somber to the point we want to go and hang with those people and say, you know, stroke their back and say, it's okay, it's okay. Oh, really? Is that what you believe? Hey, let me take a look. No. Matthew 18's clear. We did the backstroking. We did the, you know, the kissy-kissy, huggy-huggy thing, everything we could to try to get them to see Amen. But they're being sifted out. It's called the shaking. And so, but the fact the jailer fell at the feet of Paul and Silas here shows, you know, in verse 29, it shows that God had a plan for that man. I mean, look at the thief on the cross. The only way that thief would have found Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, and King is for him to be on a cross next to him. And how did he get there? He was a thief. Jesus allowed him to be the way he was because he knew this is what will get him. And I'm not saying that Jesus sanctioned his thievery, if you will, or his burglary or whatever the bad things. No, the Lord knew the way this man was, and he knew that he was going to, he thought that that's the only way he could make a living. You know, he was confused in those areas, and he's probably no doubt remorseful for doing it. Hence the reason he knew Jesus when he got on the cross next to him, and he says, okay, you know, I see my life, it's a mess, it's going to end soon, and it just, you know, I always wanted to try and stop it, and, you know, whatever his thoughts were, who knows, you know, it doesn't matter, we'll find out when we meet him. But that was the only way he was going to make it to heaven, is to hang on the cross next to him. So when you're in the trial that you're in, look at the big picture. Don't just look in the mirror. That's my problem always been. It's all about me, you know, I find. You know, that's usually how it is with all of us, in fact, if you think about it. And I praise God that he wakes me up to certain things like this over the years, because it allows me to teach it and preach it, because I can't teach it and preach it unless I live it. And you all know that. I preach off my sleeve. And so whatever I experienced in the past, I let you know, hey, I did that too, but boy, oh boy, let me tell you how that worked out. You know, and it never really does work out well, does it? For me. But it works out well for Christ on the end of it, because then I realized, oh yeah, I shouldn't have been doing that. I just praise God I didn't have to hang on a cross to get there, because Christ already hung there for me. But the fact the jailer, getting back to him, fell at the feet of Paul and Silas, I mean, he was obviously on the fence of accepting Jesus as Lord, and he knew who Paul and Silas were. You know, you didn't need to have psychic ability to know that. I mean, that's their generation, that's their society. You know, we have our TVs and cell phones and stuff in today's world to get all our crazy information. They had word of mouth and mostly the gates. That's why the prophecy states, I think it's in Proverbs, let the Holy Spirit stand at the gate. Why the gate? Because that gate was always the position wherein all the wise men sat, and people that had questions would come up to the gate of the city to ask the wise men. You know, when the jailer saw Paul, and saw how Paul and Silas, as well as all the other prisoners, remained in the jail. That's the power of Christ. Because, you know, Paul speaking Christ the way he did. Could you imagine if Paul was telling us, look, you guys can't be using spices. How many of you going to stay in the jail and want to hear stuff like that? Or any of these other strange things? No, he's giving them present truth. All the prisoners stayed there with him. And so the jailer knew God's hand was involved here. And that's all that was needed to finally decide to be one with Christ. I mean, when Peter was led out by his angel, there was no quake. And so Herod had the jailers killed, thinking they allowed him to escape. And, you know, it's in Acts chapter 12, right? And so the earthquake of Paul and Silas was caused by the Lord so as to prevent their jailer from being killed by his superiors for allowing them to escape, as it was obvious, an obvious earthquake, and not a silent escape like Peter's was. That already gave the jailer the reason to flee. I mean, the jailer could have just said, hey, what do you want? If there's an earthquake, you know, how am I going to stop him? All the doors are open. I'm just one man here. But the fact all the prisoners remained in the crumbled jail, that would make the prison guard look even better in the eyes of Rome. That quake protected the jailer from being killed because his superiors could have killed him. But they didn't kill him because of, you know, the fact of the matter is they couldn't kill him for an earthquake. Nor would they want to kill a jailer that they thought was able to control the prisoners so well with every door open and they were still there. They didn't know about Paul and Silas the way the jailer already understood because he was seeking Christ. The Romans, yeah, they were just seeking each other. They were all about the flesh. And so the Lord knew the jailer was a believer. And so he protected him by causing the quake in a way none of us could imagine. You know, he protected him by causing the quake in a way that, I mean, the Lord always has a tendency to answer prayers in ways we never expect, out of the left field, like I like to say, clear out of left field. You know, because I mean, well, look here, case in point, let me just put it in the wrong, as a matter of fact. I mean, I should have just flew right into this one. Put it in the room here. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." A brother in the faith told me the other day, he's losing his home, right? And some of the church family are concerned for him because I put out a prayer alert. And I says, "No, the Lord's hand's moving here. You know, just watch." And they, and I didn't have his address or anything like that. And they were, you know, wanting to help in some way. And some of them did, I'm sure. But that wasn't my discernment. And then when I found out that, as a matter of fact, the other day, I found out that the Lord already had a place set for him to live. But he didn't want to live there. He wanted to live where he was, where the bills weren't being paid. And so, and the email says, "Well, I guess I'll just wait on the Lord because he hasn't answered my prayer yet." And I says, "Brother, he did answer your prayer. He just said no." A lot of people forget that. They don't seem to understand that sometimes the answer to the prayer is going to be no. "I don't want you to stay here." It's just like when I was in business for myself with the telemarketing thing, raising money for the cops, you know, calling people on the phones. Yeah, I was a telemarketer. You know how annoying they are today. Yeah. But back then, you didn't have caller ID and stuff. So, yeah, 99.9% of the time, the people picked up the phone. And here I am on the other line. And so, but it was, I don't even know if I want to go there, but the fact of the matter is I didn't want to lose that business. Paid the bills. But the Lord wanted me out. I didn't hear him saying no, even though he was. You know? And so he had to make it blunt. Where I went to try to get, and I was moving the office because we had more employees and I needed a bigger office. Or, well, I guess that's all you can call it, because it wasn't a storefront, even though I rented a storefront. We just put shades up. You know, 25 to 35 phones or whatever, you know. Just imagine the phone bill each month was anywhere from 5 to 10 grand just for the phone bill. And, but the Lord didn't want me there, and I just wasn't putting it together. And all of a sudden, I couldn't keep the employees. They weren't making any sales. And then when I went to apply for the business license to have the building, because the landlord insisted on me having a business license, you know, in order to rent his facility because it was storefront, and he didn't want to lose the chance of having some multi-billionaire come in there. And the town more or less says, "No, we're not giving you a business license because of I was subcontracting under somebody they didn't like." And I didn't know that, but my father did. Couldn't pay my bills, was losing the home, ended up moving into the 1,011-day house. And it wasn't until the 1,000th day that it dawned on me that he was saying no. Sometimes the answer is going to be no, because we ask amiss. We ask amiss. And so it's strange that it would go in this direction in regards to what we're talking about here with the jailer, but still, even the jailer, he could have killed himself. But the way the Lord worked it all out, yeah, worked out pretty good. You know, he misunderstood, because he was a seeker, which is obvious. Anyway, let's go to the next verse, verse 30. So maybe I'll end with that one, because maybe I'll end with this one, because I got some Review and Herald stuff on it, Testimonies Volume 6 on it, and Christ Object Lessons, so. Acts 16, verse 30 says, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, there's a shocker. Seriously. Reminds me of Randy, this one guy that used to be part of our church family until, let's just say there was some in the church family that weren't very nice. And he left the church. But I've always had a connection with him, and I've always loved him, and called him a few times afterwards. He was still on the same page with us, and even made a website. He was a ham radio guy, and he made some videos about us and stuff. And, like, he really loved the church family, but and he was a big man, very big man. He was a prison guard. The last person in the world that you would expect to be a gentle giant, a prison guard. Nobody messed with the guy. But at the same time, he presented Christ to a lot of people in those prisons. Yeah, he still has the website up, yeah. And, my point in all this is the fact the jailer asked this question confirms he not only knew who Paul was, just like Randy knew who Christ was. A lot of people didn't realize that. Randy, I'm hoping he's still alive, you know, but I haven't spoken to him in a few years. Please keep him in prayer, yeah. He was a nice guy, really. I met him when I was preaching at this other church. He came out to meet us. But the jailer here, he knew about the message and was considering it for himself and his family. But because he misunderstood how God's hand moves, like we just learned in Isaiah 55, you know, verses 8 and 9, he decided, I'm not going to be tortured. I'm just going to kill myself. It's going to be so much. Yeah, it's going to be painful to fall down on my own sword, but it's a lot easier than dying the way these Romans kill, you know. And so, but the quake and the surrounding events, that was the tipping point. Yeah, Randy, if he was to come back into the church, he'd see a complete different body of believers in this church. When this church was young, we had a few people, but there were some that were, and they've left us over the years, obviously. One of them died, but that was a problem for Randy. But there's a lot more love now, because we were very green. I was green. We were all very green. Decades ago when this church family started, and we all learned together. It's the way it should be, like a dad grows and a mom grows at the same time their children do. That's why the Lord created babies, you know. You don't give birth to adults, you know, or they have their own mind. We have to train them, and as we're training them, we're learning, you know. We're learning how stupid we are. But here, let me share something with you from Review and Herald, February 22nd. 1887. It's in the room. It says ministers need to have more clear, to have a more clear, simple manner in presenting the truth as it is in Jesus. And wow. Praise your mighty name. Because one of the other things he was telling me this morning when I got up this morning, was we got to start preaching Jesus a lot more in this church family. We got to start introducing him a lot more to the people. Yeah, sure, we got the present truth, and we got that down to a science. We know what it is. We go forth with it. And we even stop those in our church family that try to pull us off that path. But at the same time, we got to start showing Jesus a lot more than we have been, myself included. I'm guilty of this as well. As a matter of fact, my wife and I were just talking about it. I'm rereading Steps to Christ, and I think everybody in this church family should reread Steps to Christ again, but read it with knife and fork. Hang on every word. Because you know she's going to bring up the scripture, and boy, does she ever, as we know. And so, yeah, amen, Sister Minnie. Not many people in the world know who Jesus is. And some of us in the church family couldn't answer the question effectively either, even though we've been with him for decades. We have to have a better understanding of how to explain him. We got the prophecies down pretty good. Now we got to get Jesus down. She goes on to say here that their own minds, talking about the ministers, that, you know, have to talk about Jesus more, their own minds need to comprehend the great plan of salvation more fully. Then they can carry the minds of the hearers away from earthly things to the spiritual and eternal. There are many who want to know what they must do to be saved. And that's why I got that page on the website called salvation.htm. They want a plain and clear explanation of the steps requisite in conversion. And there should not a sermon be given unless a portion of that discourse is to especially make plain the way that sinners may come to Christ and be saved. They should point them to Christ, as did John, and with touching simplicity. Like I always say, Christianity isn't rocket science. You need Jesus. And forget about the flesh. That's what he was just teaching me, my rude awakening. It's not what I can do for all those that are confused about my faith. It's what Christ can do for all those that are confused about the truth. It's not about me, it's about Christ. I can't put on my plate what isn't there. Because if I do, I'm found wanting. And that's how the devil's been messing with me for quite a while. Trying to be like, look, I'm the one that's got to fix this, that, and whatever. No, I'm not. People don't want to hear it, that settles it. It's just nothing I can do. It's like he showed me a few months ago, and I share it with the church family. I got a little pop-up. Again, I got a lot of these pop-ups that show up on my screen that remind me of things that I need to remember. But there are so many that just flew out of my mind. But if I pop it back up, no, I'm not going to. I'll just let the Lord pop it back up if he wants to. It does matter because they have edited the Steps to Christ book too. It's on the site. Steps to Christ. I got it in a PDF on the site if you want it. Or just go to vbates.com. You get it there and it's safe there. That's the one I got. And that's the one we give out. As a matter of fact, we got a bunch of them. I don't know if we have any left because we usually buy a case. And she doesn't like, Mary Vett doesn't give her books out to people in cases anymore except us. Because she knows we don't charge people for them. She knows we just give them away. But there's people that have been asking here for cases, and the book costs like $5. They'll charge people $50. They're making money off of her books because she does all the work to get them all printed at cost. Because whatever it costs to print, that's what she sells it for. She isn't making any money. So, oh, thanks, Joe. Joe just put the Steps to Christ in the room, the PDF for it. So, again, we have to learn to point them to Christ, as did John, and with touching simplicity. Their hearts aglow with the love of Christ. Say, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Strong and earnest appeals should be made to the sinner to repent and be converted. Even in today's world, like even with these people that want to argue. Like the one guy, says, we have to go forth and tell people Jesus Christ is coming back. Make your path straight for the coming of the Lord. That's why we've got a new website called makehispathstraight.org. One page. That's all I need. And I got information on that one page. Makehispathstraight.org, .com, .net, but just .org. Everything else points right back to .org. I just buy the other ones to prevent people from using them and making a website in direct defiance to ours. So, but she says that those who neglect this part of the work need to be converted themselves before venturing to give a discourse. And those whose hearts, isn't that what I just put in the room? Oh, okay, thanks, Sister Denise, yeah. So those whose hearts are filled with the love of Jesus, with the precious truths of his word, will be able to draw from the treasure house of God, things new and old. They will not find time to relate anecdotes. They will not strain to become orators, soaring so high that they cannot carry the people with them. But in simple language, with touching earnestness, they will present the truth as it is in Jesus. So again, it has to be simplicity. Like I was talking to a friend about earlier, when I used to sell insurance, the boss would always say, you got to kiss the client. I says, what on earth? He goes, oh, no, you're misunderstanding me. You got to K-I-S-S the client. Otherwise, they'd be calling you every 5 minutes with all these questions. I says, can we explain this? What does KISS stand for? And he goes, keep it simple, stupid. And that worked for me. Well, it worked for me also in the sermons. I don't use the $20 words unless it's an absolute necessity. Because I know babes in Christ are, you know, hearing the sermon as much as a theologian might be. So this next one here is I'm going to be putting in the room is from Testimonies Volume 6. And I think I'm going to close with this. So I just can't wait to hear these here testimonies. So there you go. It's in the room. Let's wait for it to get in the stream there because there's some lag. Okay, there it is. It says, if the man who feels that he is called of God to be a minister will humble himself and learn of Christ, he will become a true teacher. What we need in our camp meetings is a ministry vivified by the Holy Spirit. It's pretty neat that we're reading this before the camp meeting, which is in almost, a month and a half now? Well, a month and three quarters? Because, you know, I worked on these notes and stuff like this, and these are studies that I did years ago, and so I didn't plan any of this, you know. But he did, especially what happened last night after 48 hours of no sleep. And so he works in the way he does, totally out of left field. And it works better that way because there's no other way I'm going to catch this. It's just like with the thief on the cross. There was no way he was going to get it until he was hanging on that cross next to him. So again, if the man who feels that he is called of God to be a minister will humble himself and learn of Christ, he will become a true teacher. What we need in our camp meetings is a ministry vivified by the Holy Spirit. There must be less sermonizing and more tact to educate the people in practical religion. They must be impressed with the fact that Christ is salvation to all who believe. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Of course, that's John 3:16. And you know, that's the one that's always popping up in football games and stuff on screens, you know, when they put those posters up. But she goes on to say that there are grand themes on which the gospel minister may dwell. Christ has said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 6:47. If the minister's lips are touched with a coal off the altar, and all of us are to minister, by the way, this isn't just at me. Okay? This isn't just on me. Yes, Testimonies, Volume 6, page 88, paragraph 2, Sister Ashley. But yeah, this is, we're all to be ministers unto Christ, just like every angel is to minister unto us. The good angels, by the way. Unless, of course, you ask them to leave. That's your own free will. And then the other angels will minister unto you. But, yeah, those angels are more interested in your eternal death, whereas the good ones are interested in your eternal life. So if the minister's lips are touched with the call from off the altar, he will lift up Jesus as the sinner's only hope. When the heart of the speaker is sanctified through the truth, his words will be living realities of to himself and to others. And again, this is why I like to preach off my sleeve. And he was telling me, you know, recently, as a matter of fact, I actually have this quote popping up every now and then on my screen. As a matter of fact, every Sabbath morning, it pops up and says, you know, again, I don't want to turn this thing on, but if I do, it's probably going to make a beep beep noise. So let me just see if it does. But these are my notes that, and all four screens are covered in them. And I've got a bunch of them that are hidden too, that come up every now and then. So where is it? That's not it. But that's the noise it makes, by the way. It's just a bunch of remarks. Oh, and here's one that's for me personally. The Lord gave me a few months ago. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, he says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You know, because I always feel so down on myself. Oh, here's the other one. Forgive them all, we all make mistakes. There's that other one that pops up on me every day. And then, the other one's not there. So, yeah, okay, yeah, the other one is for Saturdays only. You know, Sabbath morning, right before sermon. So let me go into the notes browser. And I'll look for Jesus, because this, I'm not kidding, this is something we have to share with everybody as often as we can. And for some reason, it's not coming up. But I'm not going to go through, you know, trying to look for it because it'll just take four. Oh, yeah, here it is. Wow. Reviewing. Oh, I'll put it in the room, as a matter of fact. Okay. And this is what I try to do in every sermon. Because we always like to mention Jesus anyway, but there it is in the room. It's Review and Herald, October 7th, 1909, paragraph 11. It says, in every congregation, there are souls who are unsatisfied. Every Sabbath, they should hear something that will help them in the way of salvation and teach them how to become better Christians. The important thing for them to know is, how can a sinner be justified before God? Let the way of salvation be presented them before them in simplicity. Lift up Jesus as the sinner's only hope. Because if you think about it, with the thief on the cross, there was nothing else. It's like when I go to the Lord in prayer to ask Him for something, I always start off saying, Father God, you know the reason I ask you these things is because I can't ask man this. And that started decades ago with the one question I would ask Him when I needed help financially. I says, Father God, I can't ask man for money. I hated being in sales. I can't, unless it was something I believed in, but I can't do that with sermons. I can't do that with His truth because I didn't write the Bible. And so I always go to Him. That's why we never ask for donations. Like Paul, he never asked for donations. If I needed money, I went out and do some work, make some money. But He was right there. He always gave us what we needed. So, because He had us where He needed us, Fran and I. And so we do the work. He pays the bills. That's how it's always been. That's what they used to call in the old days, a faith walk. Yeah, I think, yeah, that's what they used to call a faith walk. And so we have to lift up Jesus as the sinner's only hope, no matter what you're going through. Look at the jailer. Yeah, he could have killed himself, but his only hope at this point was, how do I get saved? All of a sudden, he's not worried about torture. Think about that. All of a sudden, he's not worried about the Roman soldiers coming to kill him slowly. All of a sudden. Because regardless of the fact that he probably could have realized that they're not going to kill him because of an earthquake, they're not going to blame an earthquake on him, his first thought was still to commit suicide because he thought they were going to torture him. But then all of a sudden, he wanted Jesus. Okay, what's this being put in the room here, Isabel? I know how to hack through lines. Hold on a second. Okay, let me do something here real quick. What is it? This person's trying to hack the room, maybe. I don't know. Isabel Leonard. Okay, is... Okay. Let me see if I can't. What are you typing in the room there, Isabel? You wanna explain to us before I finish what I'm doing here? Oh, it might be a little kid. Okay. Okay. All right, so it's probably just a little kid. Yeah, random letters, but still random letters can come back, especially if you put special characters in there to hack a room. This room can't be hacked in that way, but for someone to try to do that, I still want to know, you know, because this room won't. I prevent any kind of ANSI or ASCII inputs. That isn't. I turn that off in the back end, so there's no way they could do it. But for someone to try it, let's say, then I got to say, oh, okay, who's this? You know. So, okay, no big problem then. All right. But there's still a problem with how something's not working here. Okay, I'll have to get with tech support because a feature is missing with the new update. And so a cat can do that too, yeah. It's just like the cat walking across our keyboard. We had a piano in the house years ago, and a cat walking across the keyboard at 4 a.m.? Yeah, that sounds like some eerie music. So, but anyway, I got to make a personal note to myself. because I'll do this later. New note, contact tech support. Okay. Okay. All right. So I think we're. Oh, I got to finish this this quote from Sister White. So let me just back it up a little bit here. Okay. So, if the minister's lips are touched with a call from the altar, he will lift up Jesus as the sinner's only hope. When the heart of the speaker is sanctified through the truth, his words are. Will be living realities to himself and to others. Those who hear him will know that he has been with God and has drawn near to him in fervent, effectual prayer. The Holy Spirit has fallen upon him. His soul has felt the vital heavenly fire, and he will be able to compare spiritual things with spiritual. And this is why, from, we learned our lesson recently. The only ones that are going to be on the pulpit in the SDR movement from this day forward are going to be ordained ministers and, elders that we trust. And when I say elder, dyed in the wool, decades long in the church family elder, okay? And because I blame myself in regards to certain things that happened in the past, leaving the pulpit open for certain types and never again, because it harms the person that steps up thinking that he has abilities he has not been called to have. And that's again, my fault. And so, but live and learn, like we've always done as a church family. This is why we are blessed the way we are. The Lord's always there for us, and he always answers our prayers. Yeah, it might take a week or two or a year or two. It doesn't matter. We got patience, and you got to be patient in Christ. So finishing the statement, she says, power will be given him, the minister, or those of us that share our faith with others. You can minister too, just like an angel does. Power will be given him to tear down the strongholds of Satan. Hearts will be broken by his presentation of the love of God, and many will inquire, what must I do to be saved? Think about that, because of what happened with that jailer. There's people on the verge of suicide out there. Seriously. Can you see the doctrinal or just plain reality of society whisper here? There's a lot of people standing in line to commit suicide out there. And you might be their only hope when you bring them truth that shows them who their real hope is, Jesus. They didn't met him yet. A lot of people out there just think he's a swear word. I know a couple of young men that were raised that way, thinking that's all Jesus Christ was. It was a swear word. Because that's what he heard their parents say every now and then when they got angry. So it must be a swear word. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Be patient. Hope maketh not ashamed. Hope and pray we're blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.